I thought since we are approaching the Christmas season swiftly now, that I wanted to do some preaching between now and, of course, Christmas Eve. And so I want to share some things on most of our every service we have. So this morning, if you'll turn with me, please, in your scripture to the book of St. Luke, look in chapter number 1. I'm going to begin reading with just one verse, verse 28. In the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 28, and share a message about greatly blessed and highly favored. Greatly blessed and highly favored. Listen to what Gabriel said to Mary in Luke 1:28. And the angel, this is Gabriel, of course, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. In leading up to the Christmas, ultimate Christmas message in just a few weeks, I want to share some events and things that were revealed about the Christmas story, beginning, of course, with Mary here, and I'll do some other things with the other participants in the story as we get closer to Christmas. Some things that God revealed to Mary in her life. Above all else, Gabriel told Mary, he said, What's about to happen in your life is totally of God and not of man. Well, he said, And Mary, you above all women on the face of this earth are highly favored of God, and you will be greatly blessed of God. These two words, highly favored, only appear twice in the New Testament, here in Luke 1:28, as I have just read to you. And then over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, It's all to the praise of the glory to God. By His grace, we are accepted in the Beloved. Accepted here means highly favored of God. Now, it's by His grace and His grace alone that we are accepted in the Beloved, who is of no doubt the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't receive the grace of God because we deserve it, do we? Because none of us deserves the grace of God. We receive the grace of God, even as Mary did here, because God loves us and God chooses to extend or to give us His grace. In the Lord Jesus, in the Beloved, it says in Ephesians, in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you realize every single one of God's children who are born by faith from above in the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God, every single one of us is greatly blessed and highly favored of God. What did this statement really mean to Mary when Gabriel said, Mary, you're highly favored and you'll be greatly blessed of God? The same thing it meant to her should be some of the same things that it means, of course, to us today. Of course, no other woman alive has ever will be able to experience a virgin birth of the Savior. That stands alone to her credit. No other woman has this privilege. But everything else that he said to her does apply to us just as well as it did to her. So as we approach the Christmas season, I want us to see how highly favored we really are and how greatly blessed that we really are in the Lord. Now, three things came to my mind as I thought about this statement that we're greatly blessed and highly favored of God, just like Mary. The very same things that happened to her here happened to us. I'm speaking of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Three things I want you to see. First of all, the very grace of God brought to Mary salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. In that same chapter, Luke 1, look at verse 46 and verse 47. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. When Gabriel told Mary these wonderful words from the Lord, Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord. She rejoiced. She said, I want you to notice something here in those verses. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and I rejoice in God my Savior. Do you see that? Mary would be the first one to testify that she needed a Savior just as much as anybody else in this world would ever need a Savior. She knew what we all need to know. We can't save ourselves, even by any kind of good work that we might be able to do. There's no way for any person to ever save themselves. We need someone to save us. All of us need a Savior, don't we? So it's by the grace of God, in Jesus Christ our Lord, God sent Him to this earth by His grace, in His love, to be our Savior, to put our faith and our trust and our souls and our lives into His hand. Notice something about Mary here. When she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, she didn't magnify Moses and the law. Mary knew what we all need to know. You're not saved by good works, and you're not saved by the law. No one's ever kept the law anyway, only Jesus. But she knew that you couldn't be saved by good works. You couldn't be saved by keeping the law. Although she was a human being, just like you, just like me, and although God chose her to be the channel through whom He would send the Lord Jesus into this earth, she knew she too needed a Savior. Amen? One of the greatest things that you'll ever have revealed to you in your life is that you're lost without God, you're estranged from the grace of God and the family of God, and that you too need a Savior just like she did. But she was blessed and highly favored of God that through her, the Lord Jesus would come to this earth to save us. How could she not magnify the Lord? So, first of all, through the coming of the Lord Jesus, she received her salvation. That's a great gift. The greatest gift you'll ever receive from God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And she too received salvation through Jesus. But there's a second thing I want you to notice, that she received not just salvation, but she received great joy in her life. If you look at those same verses here, you'll see it. When you get saved, it brings the greatest joy in your life, or it did to me. Let me say this for my life. It did to Mary, I know. I'm sure it did to you. If you're saved, it brought a great joy to your life. Now, Mary also knew, as the angel explained to her about her being a virgin, would conceive by the Holy Ghost and bear the Christ child, Mary knew what she was going to have to face in the community. Although she was engaged, espoused, to marry Joseph, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Don't you know, she thought, now, this is going to raise a lot of questions with a lot of people in the community. There's going to be some gossip stirred about she and Joseph. There are going to be some grave doubts about their marriage. I'll promise you this, every single one of us who's ever been married, when you got married, somebody marked the day you got married. I grant you, they marked your wedding day. And they marked about 9 months later to see if you had a child any time between the first and the ninth month. Now, that's just human nature, amen? Amen. That's the way it is. We fooled them all. We waited about 3 years. Amen. Amen. But Mary knew what she was going to have to face. She was willing to bear the reproach or what might be from the society, the shame involved in having a child, so to speak, out of wedlock. Although this child was conceived by the Holy Ghost. How many people you think in that community believe that? Someone came up to you today and told you they were going to have a child and they were conceived by the Holy Ghost. Would you believe that? Not likely. She knew what she was going to have to face. The response from her neighbors, the response from her friends. But she was willing if she could fulfill the will of God in her life. She said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. In verse 38, She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." When you surrender to the Lord, it's a great act of joy that comes in your heart, doesn't it? When you gave your heart to the Lord and you finally understood your need of a Savior also, and you bowed your head, you maybe bent your knee, and you just personally, humbly accepted the Lord, what a great joy didn't it bring to your life? Mary broke forth in praise. I want you to see a portion of what she said. It's called Mary's Magnificat. In Luke chapter 1, look at verse 46 through verse 55. I want to read those and let you look at them. Verse 46 through 55 in Luke 1. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, and hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." No doubt with great joy, this great burst of joy came from Mary's heart and Mary's soul as she praised the Lord for what he was going to do in her life. This prayer that she prayed, this prayer of joy, would almost kind of go alongside with the prayer of Hannah in the Old Testament. You remember how she was reproached and how she prayed and asked the Lord for a man-child who would be Samuel. And of course, God answered her prayer. Well, I don't know if Mary knew anything about Hannah's prayer or not. Possibly she did. We're not sure about that. But it kind of follows along the same lines. She was of low estate. She was a handmaid of the Lord. And then she rejoiced in God her Savior. Well, we need the grace of God in our hearts if we're going to have joy in this season for the coming of our Lord. We're going to have to do it by the grace of God and sing it out with joy. Amen, as we're doing this morning, as we sang earlier. But I want to tell you something. As time went on, if you picture Mary 33 years later, standing with the others around the foot of the cross, she was not standing there in joy. She was there in great emotional stress and great emotional strain as Jesus, her only son, only begotten Son of God, was being put to death. Only God knows the suffering that Mary did go through as she stood around the cross experiencing her Lord Jesus being crucified. Mary had the grace of God about her, didn't she? I wonder sometime if we have the God's grace around us. God's grace is sufficient. Didn't he tell Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee"? His grace was sufficient for Paul. His grace was sufficient for Mary. And his grace, he said, "My grace is sufficient for us as well." In Luke, also in the same chapter 2, verse 25 through 35, I won't read those verses, but you can make a note and go back and look at those for yourself. They took Jesus to the temple at 8 days of age to dedicate him to the Lord. And the old man of God, Simeon, old in age, God had promised him that he would not see death until his eyes were upon the Savior. And when they brought Jesus in to have him dedicated to the Lord, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and he lifted it up and looked in Jesus' face and he said, I'm kind of paraphrasing, he said, "Lord, I'm ready now to come home because mine eyes have seen the Savior." But in that same setting, Simeon told Mary that, "Mary, later on there's a sword going to pierce your heart." Her joy would be turned into grave suffering as she stood around the cross with the others and she saw the Roman soldier pierce the side of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then at the same time, that same emotional sword pierced the heart of Mary, didn't it? And on the cross, Jesus commissioned John. He said, John, behold your mother. Mary, behold your son. Mary was the only person in the world who could have possibly rescued Jesus from the cross, but she didn't. Do you know why she didn't? I can tell you why she didn't. She knew that Jesus going to the cross was in the will of God and in the plan of God for the salvation of all mankind. That's why Mary didn't talk Jesus out of going to the cross. You know, sometimes, so like it was in Mary's life, all things seem to go against us, seem like sometimes the bottom of all life drops out. It's in these times that the inexhaustible grace of God enables us to keep going on. What do you think helped Mary to go on, knowing in her heart the things she was going to have to face in 33 years? It was the grace of God that kept her going on and going on and going on. We ought to be joyful and praise God today for the privilege, if we even have to suffer for the Lord. Thank God for the privilege of doing that. You see, because it was through the magnificent suffering of our Lord that the grace of God would be extended to you and to me to put my faith and your faith and our hearts and our lives and our souls and our trust in the very finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I said there were three things that came to my mind. In the grace of God through this experience, Mary got salvation. She received joy. But thirdly, she received a family. I want you to turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Look at something with me. Acts chapter 1, just a couple of verses. In Acts chapter 1, look at verse 12 through verse 14. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary. Look at this. The mother of Jesus was with his brethren. If you'll picture, if you can, in the scene in the upper room, they were there gathered together waiting for the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? It was the coming of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. That was a promise they were waiting for. And they were all together in the upper room waiting for that promise. See who was with them. Jesus, Mother, Mary was with them. And I want you to notice something, because this is extremely important. All those gathered in that upper room were not praying to Mary. Now you get this. They were not praying to Mary. Mary was praying with them, and they were all praying to the Lord. So get the matter straight about praying through to Mary. You don't pray to Mary. You pray to the Lord Jesus. Mary was there with them, and she also was praying to the Lord with all those who were gathered right there. Because, you see, Mary knew she needed the Holy Ghost in her life just as much as all the rest of them did. She needed a Savior just like they did. She was human just like they were. Beloved, listen. As that infant church, I'm going to call it, was gathered there in that upper room praying to the Lord, at the same time, Peter was with them, and Peter was opening up the Scriptures, and he was preaching to them, teaching them, sharing with them, and preparing them for the day of Pentecost, which would come real soon, and then the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost, would come down from heaven and set upon each and every single one of them. Mary knew she needed the Holy Ghost too. She knew she needed a Savior too. And she had a family now. She gathered, the Bible says, with the brothers and with the sisters. And I want to translate that to today. Every one of us needs a church family. That's right. Now, I have talked to a lot of people over the years who don't seem to see any need to gather with God's people in the church. They think, well, I'm saved, I can just live for God, and you know, I live better than most of your church members anyway. I don't really need the church. Yes, you do. You need a church family. Amen. Just like the early church family. It wasn't perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect church family. We're not perfect down here. None of us are. But as a family of God, when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus, you became a part of the family of God. You're a brother. You're a sister in Christ. At least we can do this, knowing we're not perfect. We all make mistakes. We all commit sin. The least we can do is to love one another. Jesus commanded us to do that. Love one another as I have loved you. So the least we can do is love one another and pray one for another. Sister Kathleen, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for Bobby and Joe and all the others who are sick. The least we can do is love each other and pray for each other and try to encourage one another. She got a family. Even after Jesus going back into heaven, she had an earthly family, the family of God. And every single one of us needs a church family, don't we? I want to move forward in Mary's life to the last words that's ever recorded in the New Testament about Mary. Here's what she said. It's found in John 2, verse 5. It's at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And you remember the story how they were having a wedding celebration and they ran out of wine, you remember? And they came to Mary and, you know, kind of a panic situation. What are we going to do? We're out of wine. The feast is not yet near done and we don't have any more wine to serve the guest. And here's what Mary said. Speaking of Jesus, she said, "Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it." Do it. That's the last recorded words we ever hear in the New Testament of Mary. The last thing she left as a legacy to all mankind is whatever Jesus says to you, do it. If every single one of us would take the blessed Word of God during this Christmas season and read it with meaning and read it with yearning and do what it says to do, listen, it would make a world of difference in the church and in our personal lives. And I'll tell you something else. At Christmas season, it would make a difference so great that the world around us would know it. Now, here's my question. No doubt, like Mary, every one of us is greatly blessed and highly favored of God. Do we show it like Mary did? Listen, beloved, we have the opportunity to show it. Mary showed it all her life. And her last words were recommending us to follow Jesus. We're highly favored. Accepted in the Beloved. The only reason we're accepted in Jesus Christ is because God highly favors us through Him and the love He has for us. So, when the Christmas season's fast approaching, remember these three things. We have salvation through Jesus Christ being born. We have the great joy of knowing Him as our personal Savior, that He never leaves us, He never forsakes us. He had to leave Mary physically, but He never left her spiritually. And we have a family. We sing the song sometime, Pam, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. It's a compliment to me for anybody to tell me, well, you're a member of that old church. That, yes, I am. Hallelujah. I rejoice in church membership. I rejoice in the family of God. I thank my God with joy for my salvation through Jesus Christ my Lord and being a part of the family of God. Listen, a part of the family of God in this place, which is a small portion of the whole family of God in the whole world, but we're all brothers and sisters, all made possible because the head of the family was virgin born many, many years ago. And He's the head of all things, the Bible says. And in all things He must have the preeminence. And I give Him that today. I magnify Him. I love Him because He first loved me. I'm greatly blessed. Highly favored. I'm not bragging, not being proud, being honest. All because of Jesus being born. I'm highly favored. You're highly favored. Greatly blessed we are in His name. Now, I close with this. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord. You know, if His mother Mary saw it important enough, she being favored above all women on the face of the earth, and she realized she needed a Savior, and it was Jesus Christ, her Son. How much more should we realize the need of a Savior? And we have a Savior. He's with us today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. He lives within my heart. And He wants to live within your heart. If you've never opened the door, the latch is on the inside. Won't you open it today and let Him come in? If you've already done that, highly favored you are. Greatly blessed you are. How joyous we must be. And enough to share it with somebody else that they too might become a part of the family of God that Jesus was born, died, rose again, and is coming again for one day soon. Let's stand. Let's bow together as Sister Pam comes to lead our invitation. If God's spoken to your heart about a need in your life, something in your life that maybe you need to have corrected, maybe God wants you to unite with our church fellowship as a member of this place, as part of the family of God here. Maybe you don't seem to have the joy in your heart that you ought to have. Look at the Lord Jesus, and the joy will come. Whatever your need may be, I'll join you, help you, pray for you, pray with you. The church will too, anything we can do to make this season the most joyous Christmas season we've ever experienced. I'm going to preach tonight on the pathway to the King. But this morning, would you come? Would you respond? Would you answer God's call in your life as He speaks to that need in your heart and life as Sister Pam comes to lead us?